Verse 16 of the book of Exodus. And we want to read a few verses here, and then we're going to read a few verses elsewhere in the Bible. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. So all the people that was in the camp trembled, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at neither part of the mount. And the mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire and smoke, thereof as ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also come near to the Lord, sanctify them, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up by an Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake to them. And we're turning over to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. We want to read just two verses here. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels. We're going over to Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Moses took off the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon the garments, and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And we're heading now over to 1 Samuel. Chapter 10 and verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And over there to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among the sons. And one verse over there in 1 Kings 1 and verse 39, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon and blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save the king. And our last reading this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. We know that God will bless these readings from his precious truth here. Some years ago, when my wife and I were returning from holiday in the south of Ireland, we happened upon the town of Killarglen in County Kerry on our way home. What stood out about this town was the statue of a crowned goat, which was situated on the Lorran Bridge at the northern end of the town. The town celebrates a fair that goes back as far as 1613. When Jenkin Conway Jr. of Killaglen Castle was granted an official patent to hold a fair in the town. No one knows for sure when the goat became its mascot. If you read the book written by Sean Monaghan, The Pup Fair of History, there are many legends that abound. One in particular, and just to relate one, is this. Part of Cromwellian soldiers were making a raid in County Kerry, and the goats grazing on the Carrantool Mountain were alarmed by the approach of the English soldiers riding on horseback. The goats were so spooked by the approaching hooves and the noise, they ran down the mountain, into the valley, and eventually into the town, raising the alarm that something was afoot. And the townspeople made a hasty retreat. Yes, there are many legends about this puck goat. The fair is held on the 10th, 11th and 12th of August yearly and has been apparently for the past 400 years. A strong man by the name of Frank Joy is accompanied yearly by a band of men, and they go to the Carrantool Mountain, and there they bring back a wild goat, and they chain his feet to a platform. They array him in ribbons and garlands. He is King Puck for 3 days and 3 nights. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he's elevated 30 to 40 feet into the air. And there he stays. One of the young schoolgirls out of the local primary school has the job of crowning King Puck. She is his queen for 3 days and 3 nights. And there's this great parade that comes through the town led by Killargan Pipe Band. And there is much ado. This wee girl gives a speech in something like 6-7 lines. German, English, Spanish, and Gaelic. And then she crowns King Puck, puts a crown around his horns, and then he is elevated for 3 days and 3 nights. The festivities begin. The festivities begin. Bouncy castles, funfairs, rolling machines, jumping cars, bumping cars. Then, of course, there is the seedy side to it, where Killargan is allowed to open their public houses to 3 o'clock in the morning. And it becomes 3 days and 3 nights of drunkenness. This practice at fairs has been seen in other places, such as Dungarvan and County Waterford and Greencastle and County Down, but it's not done with a goat, it's done with a ram. I would like this morning to speak to you some spiritual lessons that we can learn from the horn of the goat or the horn of the lamb. In the Hebrew, it's called the shofar. The shofar. Horn is called the shofar. And I trust that these few stumbling remarks will be of help to you. The first thing any Christian man or any Christian woman needs is a clean walk. A godly walk before the world. A work that brings glory and honor to Christ. Do you know that before the shofar or the horn, before the shofar or the horn can be blown, it has to be clean. Brother Mick was on Wednesday night and he made reference to the clean animals in the Bible. Those who divide the hoof and chew the cud. Had to be a clean animal. And brothers and sisters, for you to have a walk with the Lord, you've got to be a clean Christian. You've got to be a sanctified Christian. You've got to be a consecrated Christian. You've got to be one given over to Christ. In the Old Testament, before the priest could even put the ram's horn to his lips, the ram's horn had to be sanctified. It had to be anointed with oil. It had to be set aside for the service of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, it's the same in the Lord's work. You've got to be sanctified and set aside and anointed for the Lord's work. Can I challenge you this morning? Are you set aside for the work of God? Are you a clean vessel? Are you walking well with the Lord? Or is there sin in your life? The day that I got this ram's horn and the other one that went with it, brothers and sisters, I could smell them coming before they'd even reached me. In fact, I thought it was the abattoir itself. I lifted them on a Monday morning. The ram had been slaughtered on the Friday. And now these two reserved for me. And over the weekend, they had putrefied. And I could smell them coming. I wasn't too long until I had the black bag sealed and put in the boot and put out of the way. I could smell them coming. Christian, does the world smell you and I coming? What about the Christian listens to the filthy jokes of the world? Unclean. Jokes that are on the margin. Brothers and sisters, if you're in that category and you like to listen to that, you're falling into the place of uncleanness. And the world sees it. And they'll mark you. They'll mark you. What about the smell of owing people money? Somebody's done work for you and you haven't paid them. Talk of the contrary. Some Christian nut, he wouldn't even pay me for hanging the doors. Wouldn't pay me for laying the concrete. Wouldn't pay me for cleaning the windows. You can't be smelled before you come. Smell of broken promises. I believe you can trust me. 8 o'clock in the morning, you can trust me. Brothers and sisters, the world can smell us coming. I can smell us coming around about 20 yards away. I thought it was the abattoir itself. Are you a consecrated vessel? Are you fit for the Master's use? Do you know that before the Levitical priest could use the horn to blow and to make the sound of the shofar, it had to be examined. It wasn't any old horn, it wasn't any old shofar that would do. Oh no. If the shofar had a crack in it, throw it out. If it had a hole in it, throw it out. This one here's even damaged at the air, and it's damaged in the bell here. It wouldn't have died, it would have been thrown out. Brothers and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ must make the right sign before the world. And you can't make the right sign if you're broken, if you're cracked, if you've got a hole in your mouth that's letting sin in. It's just not going to work. The world will see. A shofar has to be blown into to create a sound. And it's the same with you and with me. The Spirit of the living God has to breathe into us. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of holiness and godliness. And if we are broken, cracked or of holes in our life, and the Spirit of God can't remain in us, He will leak out. Are you consecrated? Are you set aside? Are you broken? Are you consecrated? Secondly, are you filled with compassion? Are you filled with humility, humbleness, graciousness before your brother and sister, before the world at large? Are you a humble man or a humble woman? If you read the documents of the rabbis, the Levitical priest could not use a horn that was straight. Could not use it. It had to have a bend in it. Had to have a bend in it. Speaking of the humility of the man that was blowing it and using it. Christian, are you humbled before the Lord? Are you in a place of prayer? Do we find you here on a Wednesday night praying and supplicating and seeking the Lord's face? Or are you broken and cracked and holding your life? The horn of the shofar has to be blown into. And Christian, unless the Spirit of the Lord blows into you and I, we'll never be humble. For the flesh will rise up and it will defeat us. Consecration, compassion or humility. And then there is the coronation. There is the lifting up. Yearly at Killargan, the Puck Fair, for 3 days and three nights, that puck is taken up and elevated before the people. There's all his ribbons, all his garlands, and great array is made of King Puck. Congregation this morning. Is Christ the coronation of your life? Is Christ lifted up in your life? Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He should be lifted up in your heart. He should be lifted up in your soul, lifted up in your worship. Lift it up in your life and your walk and your talk. There's a vet that stays with King Puck 3 days and three nights in case something happens to him. and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ needs no that. He is the altogether lovely one. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of Lord. He is the one crowned in glory. He is the one with thee. The rainbow over his head. He is the one with the angels in attendance. Coronation. King Puck is lifted up on high and made a show of. Brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ coronated in your life? Is he coronated in your life? Is he all the ribbons and the garlands in your life? Or have you got sin? The shofar was used to anoint kings. We read that verse this morning there, 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Brothers and sisters, David was anointed with the oil that flowed out of the shofar. He was anointed of God. Christian, are we anointed? Is God poured into our life his Holy Spirit that we might live? We read that verse in Ephesians 5 and 18, be ye filled with the Spirit. Christian, are we filled with the Spirit? Are we anointed of God? David was anointed of God. You want real power with God? You'll find it by being anointed by God. You've got to be consecrated. You've got to be compassionate or humble. You've got to coronate Christ King of your life. And you've got to be anointed of God, the Holy Spirit, for your life to tell before the world. Do you know there's a very interesting portion of scripture? And it's found there in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 1, and it says these words, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured on the head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over the people of Israel? This had to do with Saul, King Saul. There's a world of difference between the anointing of David with the oil from the shofar and the oil, if you noticed it there in your reading, from the flask or the pitcher. It was man-made. The pitcher was man-made. Into what they put the oil, it was man-made. Whenever David was anointed, the shofar wasn't man-made, it was made by God and his creation. You're here this morning. I want to ask you this morning, what anointing have you got? Is it David's anointing? From the horn of God, from the shofar of God, the Spirit of the living God? Or have you got Saul's anointing? Ornamental. Ornamental Christians. Looks good. Looks nice. Looks shiny. Looks lovely. Compared to this rough and ready thing. Brothers and sisters, this is man-made. This is man's creation. man's creation. Saul's anointing didn't amount to very much, did it? We find that Saul was told to wait 7 days on Samuel coming to make the sacrifice at the altar. And what do we find? What do we find? He ran out of patience. He made the sacrifice himself. God was angry. The prophet was angry. Are you disobedient? Are you disobedient? God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the anointing I want you to have. Have the Spirit of the living God. And there are Christians that turn around and say, no, I want this ornamental stuff. I want the way that people can really see and the way that looks good. Problem is, this leads to failure. Whereas this leads to holiness of life and a walk with the Lord. What chauffeur are you anointed with this morning? Is it the ram's horn? Or is it the oil from the pitcher? Man-made. But Saul didn't disobey once. He disobeyed twice. Christian, listen. When God speaks once, we should obey. We should obey. We shouldn't have to be told multiple times to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. We shouldn't. If you're anointed of God, what anointing have you got? The anointing of the shofar. But I want to tell you something too here. The oil was exactly the same out of both. But one man wanted the Spirit and the other man wanted the flesh. You can't have both. You're either walking with the Lord hand in hand or you're walking with the devil. Hand in hand. Disobedience. What are you filled with? Are you filled with the oil from this? Or the oil from this? Are you a real living Christian with the vitality of the Spirit of the living God running through you? Or is it all you can do? Look at me! Look at me! How my mission failed! And there was another missionary. Don't know this missionary, but I heard this story about him. Stories were coming back to the mission board. This is not our own denomination, by the way. Stories were coming back, and then men were thinking, I can't believe that. That has to be wrong. It can't be right. It couldn't possibly be right. We said this man, it is a man of God. This man stood in our church and he told us he was called of God to this place. And lo and behold, one day, this man was involved in a car accident. He put the missionary car into a tree. And of course, through concern, they sent one of the mission board out to find out what was wrong, what was the problem. And they found out that this man, this missionary, he wasn't drunk in the spirit of the living God, he was drunk with the devil's bliss. He had become an ornament. Nehemiah. To those of you that love the Lord this morning, Brothers and sisters, we must be anointed with the oil from the shofar. David's anointing. King David's anointing. Will you say to me, John, that's all right, but look at what David done. Look at the sin he committed. I agree. But I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find in Psalm 51 a spirit of repentance. Spirit of humility. Spirit of confession and humbleness. For his sin. But you'll not find it in the life of Saul. No, you're not. There's no Psalm 51 in the life of Saul. You see, David was a man of the Spirit. He was a man of God. He was anointed of God. You say, John, can an anointed man fall into sin? Of course he can. Of course. Of course we can fall into sin. But friend, whenever we fall into sin, we can confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to wash us from all unrighteousness. What have you got this morning? What have you got in your heart? Are you a praying Christian? Oh, you say, John, don't mention that. Don't go anywhere like that. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says of Saul or Paul the Apostle, it says, the Holy prayeth. A spirit-filled man, spirit-filled woman, boy or girl, will be found in the place of prayer. Spirit of victory. Holiness unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, whenever we are living a victorious life and we blow the horn, things happen. Things happen. You've only to take Gideon as an example. The word trumpet there in the Hebrew, if you want to look it up in Joshua, you will find it has to do with the shofar, the horn of the ram. That was what they blew. That was what they blew. Had to be blown into. Remember we said that at the beginning. The Spirit of God has to blow into a born-again believer. To blow into you. Fill you with the Spirit. Fill you with joy of the Lord. Fill you with confidence in Christ. And then if you remember, the pitchers are broken. Pitchers are broken. Brothers and sisters, you've got to break the pitcher. Got to break before the Lord. You've got to be humble before Christ. And he can use you. Then you've got to cry the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Notice the sword of the Lord and Gideon. The Lord comes first in our walk, brothers and sisters. The Lord comes first in our talk, in our walk. You see that our ladies here this morning have all got your hats on. Brothers and sisters, sisters in Christ, we can only rejoice that you're a Bible-believing Christian. We have so many ornamental Christians out there, and they will not wear their hat for love nor money. A woman one time turned around and said, do you think I'm going to destroy this 50 pound hairdo? Brothers and sisters, when it comes to honouring Christ, 50 pounds nothing. He gave his life for you. Give his life for you. I asked you this morning, what are you anointed with? The oil that flowed from the shofar, the horn, the ram's horn. Where are you this morning? Filled with the oil that comes from yourself. Looks lovely. It's ornamental. But are you a Christian? Are you a real Holy Ghost filled Christian? Or are you an ornament? I trust your Holy Ghost filled, living and enjoying the Lord and walking with Him daily.